Growing up in the American culture, we might not even understand or recognize commitment when we see it. I think it's important to know what it looks like and how to go through the effort so we can begin the process of commitment to our marriage. Remember, there are little eyes watching you, learning. Does your faith really work? What does commitment look like?
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. We have a special guest, Rosemary Barnes, with us this week talking about the commitment in a marriage and how it impacts families. And I'm your host, Ruthie J. And yeah, I think it is true. A lot of us don't know what commitment looks like, or we see commitment and it looks like so self-sacrificing, like too much sometimes. Yeah. You know, you see couples at church, and I mean, I'll confess, I've seen some and I'm like, he's such a jerk. How can she handle him? You know, or like a knowing man, she is really difficult. He must be really good to her because she's a tough cookie. Right. So,
well, it is interesting. And I think you said it well. I think there are times where we wonder, when do you go overboard with commitment to this marriage? And commitment is not enabling a bad marriage. And that's real important. Commitment is not that Rosemary becomes a doormat. Commitment is not enabling dysfunction. Commitment is not enabling abuse. Commitment is not enabling rudeness. Love is not rude, it says in 1 Corinthians. And so I think the difference is that we choose to not enable. If I'm committed to this marriage, then I'm committed to the relationship more than the person.
And I think it's also important, kind of right along that line, is that commitment is also not ignoring things. It's not, you use the word enable, it's also not ignoring and sweeping things under the rug. I think there's been a generation in the past, perhaps, that, well, you know, that's just dad. You know, don't worry about it. Just ignore it. And that's not healthy. That's not what commitment's all about. It's not about, you know, one person being dominant and doesn't even matter which gender, but it's not ignoring or sweeping things under the rug. It's actually being on the offense to build a relationship.
I remember hearing you, Rosemary, speak at a ladies' conference. I was hiding in the back listening and basically carrying your books. But I remember remember hearing you say the difference between in the Beatitudes, the difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. And it doesn't say blessed are the peacekeepers at all cost. It says blessed are the peacemakers. And you even use the word waging peace. Blessed are those who are willing to wage peace, not war. Peace. And that means generally doing whatever it takes to get this marriage to work, and children watching you do whatever it takes to get this marriage to work. And that means committed to the process rather than committed to the person. And it's very, very, very important. In a culture, and we've talked about this before this week, but in a culture that demands its own rights, it seems like, and you're right, it seems like it's a releasing of your rights. And I got to tell you, it is a releasing of your rights. We say with our lips, we want to be more Christ-like. Well, the King of everything hung on the cross. How much suffering should I be willing to go through? Not the suffering that enables somebody to sin, not that suffering. But if your spouse was all of a sudden in an accident, in a coma or quadriplegic, you'd wheel him around. You'd probably get very little needs of yours met the rest of your life, other than the absolute awesomeness of knowing that you're serving Christ by serving your spouse. I think that's a picture. It is a releasing of me, but not an enabling of dysfunction and not an enabling of sin. I do have to decide in this culture. I've got to give up self so many times. And Jesus did that by washing feet.
The question, though, is where does commitment end and enabling begin? There's a fine line there. And it's hard to judge that sometimes. You know, a guy with a real bad temper, or she's just, you know, real tough with her words, and she's just manipulative too. There's a lot of situations there. And it's being able to commit and praying and hoping God still works in this other person.
By working and working and working to find a way to make that person comfortable enough to deal with their sin and to deal with it, to turn from it.
Explain
and
deal with
that. Well, let's take your example. Well, let's take your example. Well, let's take us. I was terrified of intimacy first 8 years of marriage. Not sexual intimacy, but that's not really intimacy. And I was terrified of sitting down and having these discussions and opening up. And the Bible says naked and not ashamed. And so, you know, confronting me is not going to work. I can take that head on. Rosemary would find ways to get me to begin to open up and talk and not pounce. She'd be slow to speak and slow to get angry and quick to listen, and she wouldn't pounce. And so I finally found a safe place where I didn't have to be harsh anymore. Harsh kept all the problems away. If I was harsh, no one wanted to take me on. And so she made it so we could talk, and then eventually she started asking questions about why is the first thing you do is lash out with your tongue? I'm not here to hurt. And so instead of other people people who've gotten used to just don't deal with him, don't take him on, don't confront him. They were enabling me to continue to be a dysfunctional person. So she was committed enough to the marriage to ask God, Lord, show me the venue.
And I think what you're saying is the first point of that, and that's to learn your spouse. Why is he or she responding that way? And what is the best venue for dealing with it in an educated, smart way? I think we just flow through life without thinking, without, you know, we're so wrapped up in what we want and being happy and all these things that we don't take time to really be other-oriented and thinking through learning each other. What's my best way to get through to him? When is the best way to get through? And to do it with wisdom and graciousness. Boy, graciousness is another one of those old-fashioned words. Nobody is gracious anymore. Right. But to think through, how would I want, you know, him to treat me? How would I want my issues to be brought to the table? Mm-hmm. And to think it through and be educated in what is the best tactic for your spouse.
So the educated part is she made a study of me. And it's not good to take me on. And it's not good to surprise me. I don't like the surprise. And I don't like, hey, after dinner, I need to talk to you about something. That didn't work. Mm-hmm. And so, again, and this sounds so ridiculous, writing on a piece of paper a note, I got a note for you. Would you look at this? And I would say, tonight, could we talk about your schedule? I just want to talk about your schedule. And I had time to get mad in the car on the way to work, okay. Opportunity to calm down on the way back. It worked for me. It doesn't work for everybody. Mm-hmm. But because she was committed to the marriage, she made a study of what's the best way to handle Bob.
Or another example would be knowing, again, what your spouse's reaction is to things. For example, maybe knowing that the minute she comes in from work and she's thinking about the children and making dinner and all those kinds of things, or with a husband that way and he's just coming in from a hectic day, this is not a good night to put this on the table. Mm. I will wait till maybe the weekend, and we've had some just fun, easy time together, and then maybe I'll bring up gently and carefully and graciously this issue that we need to talk to, knowing and getting in each other's shoes and knowing what each other has dealt with this week and what the issues are in your spouse's life at that moment.
I was afraid to open me up. I was afraid to be all in because of past trauma in my home growing up. And I was also afraid of revealing the true me. If you knew how I didn't know everything, mm-hmm. if you knew all the things I really needed help with, would you still respect me? Mm-hmm. And so when she was committed to the marriage, then she was committed to the marriage process. Mm-hmm. And the marriage person that she was married to was part of the process.
So how did you know that she was so committed to, like, she's bringing up things, and maybe there's moments where you're like, man.
Not things. Thing. One at a time. You bring, okay. We finish this, go. And you got a list.
Okay.
I'm out of here.
There's one issue.
The 16 flaws of Bob tonight, yes.
But you knew she was in it for the long haul.
Well, she, go ahead.
Well, you're just sitting here talking about me. I can just tell.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I think one thing is we're talking about conflicts and dealing with issues, and that is really so very important. But the other side of the coin is, what are we doing to build each other up? For example, Bob has a real ability to, I deal with self-esteem in my life just because of my family and upbringing, and that's another whole story. But Bob has been masterful in mm-hmm. saying, oh, you can handle this. This is you. You're good at this. And so that gave me the strength to put into the marriage. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really, really important. If your husband is one that is very macho, then make him know what you love about him. Let him know what you admire and respect about him, so that he has had so much building in the relationship that you can then deal with some of the conflicts that come up.
Did you just say into the radio that your husband, Bob, has machismo issues and dysfunctions and difficulties?
I just want to clear the air.
So this was just an in general husband. It wasn't Bob we're talking about.
You're just
general. Yes, okay.
So you're saying then that commitment, it's not just through the bad times, but even through the bad times, raising up your spouse and having fun, having that time off, and just enjoying also the relationship,
yes.
lifting the other person up, because
yes.
then and you can get through the hard times.
Right.
It's that balance that you have that helps the commitment process.
Because spouses are committed to dealing with the problem. That's my commitment. And we will deal with this problem. Rather than committed to the relationship. Mm-hmm. Life can't all be problems all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the
when
fighters.
Get in my way. Yeah. And so when I realized she's committed to this marriage, I'm starting to get a sense this is a safe place.
And along with that, there are certain things that can just, you can laugh about and say, this, you know, this is ridiculous to be fighting over this, rather than every single thing must be addressed and we're going to get this, rather than just say, you know what, I'm not perfect, so he's not either, she's not either, so let's just let it go.
The toilet seat that's up again is not going to have to ruin your marriage.
Unless you guys talked before this or something. I think that we have to check what we're committed to.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are committed to fixing other people.
Yikes.
Some people are committed to helping other people be better people. I think I spent the first period of time trying to help Rosemary be all she could be. And if you just do this and this, and I can't believe you didn't do that. And even as little and ridiculous as, I can't believe you put the things in the dishwasher.
Are you going to bring the shoes up again?
No, the shoes. I'm amazed you left one of the shoe stories out, to tell you the truth. But the whole dishwasher, whatever it is.
Right.
I think some people are, and I think it's my own insecurities. When I can keep the focus on you and your problems, then we don't ever have to deal with me. Rather than committed to the process of what we're here to do, we are here committed. Actually, we got to get this one here. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know? And that's a great opener. Do you not even know? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. This whole gig here, everything we do, we will find that out in heaven. And we will see all the different things that are enumerated in heaven where we honored God. Where we actually made a little sacrifice for God. Where we actually had the privilege. You don't have to give you get to give you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so foreign to us. And so foreign to us in church. We go to church to get. We're consumers about church. We're consumers about marriage. Mm-hmm. We're consumers about everything. And so I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. We know that, but we have to live it. And so in this marriage, the dying of me in this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony is, the more I die of me, I get more. There comes a time where that fruit starts to grow. And so as she spent 8 years dying to self and praying for me and not being a doormat, you know, not being a peacekeeper at all costs, but being willing to wage peace, can we talk about this and setting us up to win in some of the talks and realizing, you know, I don't think we talk well sitting here in this little apartment. Can we go for a walk? And, you know, we're going for a walk. It helped us. We worked hard at finding what is the way you get the other person who's not used to opening up to finally open up.
And you say 8 years, so I know a couple eyebrows went up like 8 years, you know, how do you know that you are committed to this? If you are going through such a hard time and you're just on the line, just like, you know, I know it's going to ruin my kids, but I just can't stop fighting with my spouse.
But I can stop fighting. I can't stop him fighting with me, but I can stop fighting back. It takes two to fight.
But Dr. Bob, you don't understand.
Yeah. I know I don't understand. Yeah. And I have to imagine, and this sounds so Sunday school, I have to imagine the reality is that I'm not alone in this. God's in this with me. And it gets exhausting when I bite off too much time chunks. This is the day the Lord has made.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much awesomeness. And Lord, it's 5:30 in the morning. I've gotten up a little early to pray for me. I am not getting along with my spouse. And everything about us irritates each other right now. Or everything about my spouse irritates me and he's oblivious or whatever it is. And deciding that I will not fight. I will not die, but I will not fight. And I will say, I hear what you're saying, and we're already fighting. I'm not doing this. This is the day the Lord has made. Today, I will do everything in my power. I am not me. I've been bought with a price. I will decide to wage peace. I am committed to the marriage process.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. This week, talking about the commitment in marriage and how it affects your whole family, especially your kids as well. And that's why we're bringing up this topic here on a parenting show, Parenting Today. You can hear this program again, share it with a friend, even sign up for the daily email blog online at parentingtoday.org. And if you want to see some more resources on parenting or marriage, you can check out Sheridan House Family Ministries website at shfm.org. That's shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for our Friday edition on this topic of commitment in the home here on Parenting Today.